Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Ruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch means it's Thursday, 10 p.m. And time for So What's Your Story? The coolest place on your dial because it's the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication at the University of Houston Downtown, along with our guest relations rep and absolutely indispensable and key team player, Shannon McKerchie. You know, I have said many times on this show that most guests are not professional storytellers. Rather, they are common people with uncommon stories to tell. Storytelling is the great common denominator as it promotes the unique and creative side in us all. And then, there are those storytellers who break the boundaries of imagination by demonstrating a propensity for the peculiar. Or, in the words of Rod Serling, enter the Twilight Zone. Knowing these creative souls, the eccentrics, the real visionaries, is one of those scrumptious things that remind me to check my pulse and be happy I'm alive. Avoid the dullards, I say, because those benign spirits don't stimulate, provoke, or thrill. It's the former group of tellers who move us through gesture, word, and voice, and ultimately reassign us ways to tap our feelings and then guide us into something absorbing, extraordinary. A story well told. And my guess is the poster girl for this kind of teller, and there's no way you're going to disagree in about 25 minutes. Ariana Barrios was born in the United States and left to live in France for 27 years. She moved back 3 years ago. Now, despite her current position working for a Forbes billionaire, Ariana is perhaps the most eclectic person I know with, let's just say a short list of callings or gigs. English teacher, web designer, belly dancer, private detective, freelance dance facilitator. I don't know. Don't ask me. You're probably wondering what that is. And pharmaceutical rep. And that's the short list. Now, her persona can be best described by the reply she gave me when I asked her if she was still a pharmaceutical rep. When the consciousness, she says, arrives, one cannot remain in the drug traffic business. Thank God, no, I am no longer a pharmaceutical rep, a person who's bold and assertive, obviously. A life traveler, Ariana sees herself as someone who has a strong present and philosophical approach to life. However, her strongest presence, in terms of my perspective, is that she is a Moth Story Slam winner, someone that Shannon discovered, and she's never found anybody who's less than stellar yet. She is the consummate storyteller, and she's going to tell us the winning tale tonight. Are you still nervous? Are you still nervous, Ariana?
Yes, I am.
You are. Now, your real name is Rosemary.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Was that an embarrassment or something? Because you never told me that, but I just shared with the world, so it's too late
now. Oh, no, it's not.
But you're good with that.
Okay. Oh, yes.
But you go by Ariana.
Exactly.
Was that your middle name?
No.
You didn't like Rosemary's Baby?
No, I would just say that Ariana was my real name.
Yeah.
And I discovered it.
Okay, very good. Good. Fair enough. You know, the song The Wanderer is what I think about when I think of you. It ought to be your anthem because you also liken yourself to cats, particularly the nine lives. Tell us how.
Well, I think that certain experiences of life demand dexterity and agility of the attitude. And I've been game for that.
Right.
For whatever reason, I've had the good fortune of always landing on my feet. And the diversity of things that I've lived due to my curiosity has led me to places and situations where many people wouldn't have ventured to go.
Well said.
Even survived.
Well said. You've told me that you've made a very conscious choice to be rather than to do, which I think is very profound. I really do. How did you decide to focus on the to be?
That's not an easy question.
This is a very intellectual show.
You're getting philosophical.
Yeah. High SATs only listen to this program.
I think that meditation has taught me that when I focus on being, I'm in touch with that deeper part of me, that inner power within. And then when I remain intensely faithful to this, then whatever needs to be done will happen naturally. So there's less effort and there's no performance. So whatever action comes, it springs from being. Beautiful. So it's a win-win situation for me.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm. Thank you. You're working with a rich guy right now. You're working for a rich boss. How'd you get that gig?
Miraculously, I got a mysterious call of somebody who knew me, and I got hired within the 2 days.
A mysterious person?
It was a headhunter. A headhunter called me, I got the call, and I don't know how they found me.
Wow.
And they knew a lot about me.
You having fun working for them? What do you do?
Can I take a joke on that one?
Sure.
I go before him and I make sure that everything has been taken care
of. Okay, you're his office manager. You're his general person.
Let's say that.
Right, you take care of him, right?
Sort of.
Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds terrible. I don't mean you take care of him, but, you know, we kind of take care of him during the workday, right? Kind of, sort of. Now, before we hear your story, I'm going to get out of that before I get into deep trouble. Before we hear your story, Ariana, what prompted you to walk into the Moth? I love asking this question.
Chris Gorman and Harwood Taylor.
Harwood and Gorman are terrific. And they're going to be here soon.
They're part of my dance community, my barefoot.
That's wonderful.
Freestyle dance community. And they encourage me by telling me that I had a story and then encouraging me to go to the Moth, and then I got hooked.
Well, trust me, you have a lot of stories. You really do. A person does not have to know you very long to know that you have a collection of tales. You are a narrative wonderland, really. And that's wonderful, because your experiences and your travels and your perspective on life make for a fantastic formula for any teller, really. Now, last week, Annie Garcia addressed Love Hurts with a humorous tale and a very poignant one about her daughter, and we continue this theme by accident, not on purpose. Now, we're not here, listeners, to bash love or anything, but your story is a hurtful one, right? I mean, or it's not a hurtful one, but it hurt, right? I mean, that was one of the emotional triggers, I should say.
It hurt, but it's not a hurtful one.
No, but it's not a hurtful one. And it's also one that questions our true motives.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And it happened in France.
Yes, yes, yes. Right. I was 45.
Okay.
And he was 29.
Right.
We met in the beautiful medieval village of Bruniquel. And usually during the summertime, there are a lot of terraces and that are filled with musicians. I was with my family listening and dancing to some Irish music when we noticed this handsome young man sitting by another table. And coming from a Latin family, it was a very natural thing for us to invite him to come on over and join us. We had a lot of fun dancing, and when we exchanged phone numbers, I didn't realize that I had attracted him since there were other young, beautiful women, so I just didn't expect that. But he called me the next day, and after 4 days of debate, he managed to convince me to go out with him. I couldn't resist him anyway. Jean-Michel was the most fascinating partner I had ever met. He was from a family of winemakers. He was a painter and sculptor, and he was fascinated by Roman architecture. During our relationship, he actually built his own Roman house from scratch, with columns and a patio and a fountain in the middle. He had an immense love for nature and taught me the names and the properties of the trees and the flowers. And he was an exceptional musician. Now, he had created this style of flamenco and Irish music put together, and when he played, it really had a special effect on me. As when the months went by, you know, and everything about him was exceptional. I could hardly believe that a man of his beauty and his age and talent could still be free, and even more, pursue a relationship with a woman of my age. We traveled quite a bit, especially to Italy. And like on Fridays, we would perform in the village festivals with his group called Kill the Dog. on the weekends, we'd hike up 10 to 15 kilometers to some old village and picnic there. He was an antique dealer by profession, so he used to carry this huge key ring with old giant keys that could open the door to any old abandoned church. We'd sneak inside and admire the frescoes and the paintings and the architecture. There was something special about these places. I always wanted to make love in these places. So he would tell me that I was defiling all the sacred places of France. So he started calling me Puerquita. That's a feminine version for little pig in Spanish. But then he never said no. So I called him Puerquito. As the months went by, I observed something very special about Jean-Michel, and that was that every time he saw a child, his whole face would lighten up, and he would radiate. Until one day it dawned on me, oh my God, I said, Jean-Michel, do you want to have children? And at that moment, his whole face just beamed and radiated. And he said, of course. And the only image that comes to my mind to describe what happened that instant is that film from Iron Man when Robert Downey puts his Iron Man suit and armor. That was my heart. And I knew at that moment that it was the end. I already had two grown-up children and I just couldn't start again. I loved my life and I loved my freedom. And yet in spite of my philosophy to live the present moment, nothing in the world could convince me to deprive that human being from living the experience of having children. I cried that whole night and the next day I left him. But it wasn't over. For the next 3 years, Jean-Michel and I would struggle to go our separate ways, to talk some sense into ourselves. And in his folly, he was ready to give up his dream, and in my folly, I was ready to give him children. But we both knew deep inside that neither one of us could, should, sacrifice our lives in such a way. We were torn, and in that pain, our emotions were heightened, knowing that today was the only thing that we had. I began to look around and began bringing girlfriends every time we'd go out, but he wouldn't go for them. We tried everything. Living without him was like having no air. And one time, I was so ill, my son actually called him, and I ended up in the hospital. We seriously considered polygamy, but his family was outraged, of course. Our friends couldn't understand us, and all we knew was that time was ticking. And we wanted to be together. We were spontaneously crazy. One night he woke me up and we snuck into this old abandoned church and he had a bag of candles and took out all these candles. We lit the whole candle and he had this huge, humongous candle. It's about, what, a foot and a half that was decorated. And we got married in front of the stones as witnesses. He gave me this gold Roman coin that I still carry to this day in my purse. It's been 10 years now. You know, it was the most intense experience that I've ever lived. I remember one time I was sitting in my car and I was just crying out my guts and something shook me inside, a voice, and I heard, "Who are you?" And I just said, "He is the love of my life, born too late. I am the love of his life, born too early." And at that moment of great pain, I felt an immense gratitude because I knew that I could die now. I had lived the experience of human love. I had experienced the pinnacle of all emotions in that one relationship. And then one day, I was sitting in a terrace when she passed by. It was so powerful, so unreasonable and illogical, magical. I knew that she was the one. I could smell her essence as she walked by. She had red hair and she was wearing this soft velour Victorian hat. I spontaneously got up and started a conversation with her. Oh my God, she used to write books for children. And so for about 4 weeks, I built a unique friendship with her. And then the day came when I invited her to come along to a village festival with me. And when they met and I saw the smile in his face, I knew that it was good. Yeah, I knew that it was good. And because I already knew what the outcome was going to be, I had arranged for a girlfriend to call me during that time and tell me that she had an emergency so that I could have an excuse to leave. And he looked at me and he knew. He knew. So he held me and he crushed me and he said, "Ne me quitte pas. Don't leave me." And I said, "Be free, Puerquito. Be free. I want you to live your dreams. Be free without me, but free." And I turned around and walked away. They called me dozens of times, but I refused to respond. We had already agreed. I moved away to another region, and 4 years went by. And then one day, while traveling, I saw that he was exposing his work of art in a nearby village. And I called him to let him know that I was coming. And when I arrived at the entrance of the Galleria, this beautiful little redhead, curly hair, came running towards me. And I noticed that she was not afraid of me at all. And I bent down to receive her, and she tilted her head, and she says, "C'est toi, la fée? Are you the fairy?" Her name was Amélie.
Wow, what a beautiful story. Really a beautiful. You have a remarkable control of your vocal expression. You really do, and I mean that in the most complimentary sense of the word. The way that you regulate the images and the way that you paint verbal pictures is pretty astounding. I know you've told that story several times, but it seems to me that whenever you tell that story, it feels like the first. Am I right? It feels like the first because of the way it unfolds is just remarkable.
There are moments that are hard to relive.
Yeah. We're going to talk about this, Ariana, in just a moment. I'm your host, Hank Rupacek, with Shannon McKerchie, and you are listening to So What's Your Story with my guest teller, Ariana Barrios, only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston, or kpft.org if you are listening online. But whatever path you took to get here, we are so glad that you are here. He spoke to you on many levels, obviously. He spoke to you on a lot of levels, and he had keys that opened old churches, and obviously an unbelievable key that opened your heart. What is it that you want us to remember from this story? I know that's a hard question because there's so much going on. But what's one thing that you really want us to
know? From a personal level, I want to say that he taught me what love was in a human form, because I had no idea what it was, and I had asked, I want to know what love is, and he taught me what it was. I will forever be grateful for that. As a story for all those that hear, I want to say that true love has no desire whatsoever but to fulfill itself. Yeah. That it beckons us and sends us questions and wants to know our true motives, and that if we yield to it, even if it's painful, we never lose at the end. Seeing this child for me has no price.
There are many painful things, but I can promise you right now that one that is not painful is turning to Shannon McKerchie, because she helps make this show rock by bringing great tellers just like you, Ariana, really, to this wonderful community. Shannon, we have another amazing teller coming up next week because Brendan Bourque-Scheel, the single funniest storyteller I know, okay, maybe a close second to Billy Crystal, is going to be here having us holding our bellies with his signature style. And you're going to be talking about Brendan on our Facebook page along with other spectacular posts. Tell us about what's going on Facebook this week.
Well, I post about upcoming storytelling events around town, but particularly this week, I talked about our fabulous guest teller that just delivered her beautiful story, as well as TED Talks on how Alex Gould became a storyteller and 8 classic storytelling techniques for engaging presentations and all things storytelling.
Very good. Aren't you forgetting something? You're not talking about... Yeah, okay. You know, I have to do this. Go ahead. You got 10 seconds. Make the best of it.
And Somebody Special's upcoming book signing.
Thank you. You know, I can't believe you forgot that. You did that on purpose.
Forgot.
You're teasing me, right? You thought I was going to say something. I know. Listen, I'm going to be at Braz's tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, Braz's Bookstore, and I would love for you folks to come out. I'd love to meet you. Don't worry about buying a book. I just want to get a chance to see you, talk to you, and we'll talk stories. So again, 7 o'clock at Braz's Bookstore. I'm going to be there doing a book signing, and I would love to meet the storytelling lovers in our community, and there are so, so, so many of them. And please, like us on the way out. Just make sure you do that. Also, visit our new program site at www.sowhatyourstory.info for story photos, features, and fun, and anyone interested in telling, listening, and enjoying the art of telling. And Ariana, this is all about you too. I made sure that I make this clear. You need to join this organization too. You've got to join the best telling group around. It really is our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild. Shannon, why don't you tell our listeners when and where this great group meets?
Well, Hank, the Houston Storytellers Guild meets the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center. That's 1475 West Gray. And that means that the next story swap is this Tuesday, July the 21st. And also the Guild is sponsored by Larry Thompson, one of the best tellers in Texas. And on August 29th, a concert you won't want to miss is coming up. Check out the details on HoustonStorytellers.org.
Right. Thank you, Shannon. And Larry's going to be our guest on the 21st of August. The 27th he'll be on this show.
Yes.
On the 29th, he's going to be doing a concert. And I know that's a ways away, but Shannon's going to give you all the information, and we're going to be talking about that quite a bit, so don't worry about it. You are listening to my guest storyteller, Ariana Barrios, on Always Live, So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. Ariana, let's talk about one of your true loves, traveling, because I know traveling is, right? Your true love. And let's start with this. What prodded you to leave the United States for France and then return?
Curiosity and thirst to see the world.
You just got up one day and said, I've had it, I'm bored.
I had finished school, and I just said, before I start working, I'm going to see the world.
Good. I want to deviate from travel for just one moment. I know that you told me, at least in the notes that you shared with me, that, you know, your degrees, your jobs, all the stuff that you've done does not comprise how you would like to be presented. And I was impressed by that because I do know what you're talking about. I really do. You're something other than that, and you're an entirely different being, one that evolves, a very dynamic one. But how do you want to be presented?
Really, as a human being, like any other human being, that you can meet anywhere in the world, living a human experience, so that all could feel included.
Right. But everything that you've done makes you that kind of a person. I mean, the idea of traveling and interacting with different worlds.
It comes back to the first question. Yeah. If you are who you are, whatever you do is a natural expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's very true. Very good. You see yourself as someone without roots. And how does that, it's a rather bold statement, but how does that statement fit into your passion for traveling?
Well, I would say that I never settled in any one place to absorb the nutriments of that one place.
Why not? What is it about doing that?
I have no idea. I would say simply that traveling and seeing beauty all over the place bestowed on me riches that permitted me to make my roots aerial instead.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I know there are a lot of places that transformed you, but India was one place I remember you saying.
Yes.
Tell us why.
India taught me perspective. I was expecting to see poverty and misery when I went to India. And it's the largest democracy known all over the world for its mastery in computer technology, for its great engineers, and at the same time for its spiritual traditions. When I went, I was expecting to see something dark, and instead of that, I saw color and beauty and extraordinary potential. And they taught me perspective because it was like being a photographer. You stand in a place and you look for the light, for the right image. And when you find that right image and you're looking at it through the lens, mm-hmm. there's nothing but life. Mm-hmm. So where you stand to see or to look at what you're going to look at is the secret. Mm-hmm. And your perspective, our perspective on life, where we stand to see what we're going to see, mm-hmm. depends on us.
Wow. Beautiful. That's a beautiful thought. And it's profound, and it's very meaningful. As a storyteller, how does that philosophy help you feel comfortable or giving yourself permission to tell stories? You understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you?
I'm not really sure that I understand. Perhaps I would say that I see the beauty of being human.
In other words, you take all of these wonderful experiences mm-hmm. and you look at them as one big, wonderful prompt, right? There's something there that prompts you to say, I have to share a story. I have to be able to create an image. I have to offer some kind of instrument of expression to give people an opportunity to understand what I mean and what I feel. You don't want to keep it to yourself. Storytellers don't want to keep stuff to themselves.
There's a notion of, there's a step of becoming vulnerable mm-hmm. when you tell a story.
Yeah, there is.
And in that vulnerability, we open our wings and we say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Knowing that in reality, everyone is like that.
So true. That's very, very true. Who was the storyteller in your home growing up?
Dad, definitely
yeah,
Dad.
Yeah, you say that
he
real quickly.
An immense inspiration, and we were mesmerized as children.
What kind of stories did he tell you? What were your favorites?
Oh, he was into poetry, so we mm-hmm. all learned poetry when we were kids. And my favorite poem is the one of the cat that gets squished by the fat grandma. That was my favorite one. I still know it in Spanish by heart. And his stories of growing up in the streets as a child. Mm-hmm. He was fascinated by history. So we would walk in the streets and he would tell us the history of the Jewish people, the history of the Asian people, the history of this. And I was fascinated by everything that his love of knowledge was inspirational.
Are your parents still with us?
Yes, they are,
great.
Both of us.
Very, very
both
good.
Of them.
Are they listening in right now?
Perhaps my mom is. My dad can't. He's in South America.
I see. Yeah. Don't you know that we're broadcasting
I know
this
my sister
all
is.
Over the world?
Hi, Lucy.
You don't know that? You don't even know we're broadcasting this worldwide. This wasn't bad, was it? We're almost done. What do you think? Jeff?
It was wonderful. Yes, it was wonderful.
It was wonderful. You're not serious. You better be serious, right?
It was
you were
right.
Wonderful. You were wonderful. Thank you, Ariana Barrios, for
Thank
your
you.
Will
Thank
to
you for
evolve,
me.
Really, and a will to evolve. You're just a very dynamic person, and for enrapturing us with your zest for life, your sense of nowness, and for your mental vigor and moral courage, both are very essential for a very wonderfully talented creative spirit just like you.
Thank you.
Scooter is up next with The Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. You make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, why don't you join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Till next week, I'm Dr. Hank, reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
This is an important election update. The candidate nomination period has been extended, and you now have until Sunday, July 26th, 8 o'clock p.m. local station time, to submit your candidate nomination package. If you are interested in running for the local station board, please contact the local election supervisor at kpft-les@pacifica.org or visit the elections website at elections.pacifica.org. KPFT Houston.